The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, Degrassi alumni. It's 2026, and welcome to the first episode of 2026 of the D-Grads podcast with your hosts, Shane Warren Kipple, Gavin Spinner-Mason, and
Mike Lobel, a.k.a. Jay Hogart, if you prefer, my alter ego.
I do.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to you, man. I'm still recovering. I think I gained 10 pounds over the holidays. What about
What'd you?
You
eat?
Do you have 3 hours?
Give me the top two. Give me the top three.
Lots of meatballs, lots of roast beef, and last night there was like a bacon chicken gouda lasagna that might have been one of the best but most decadent things I've had in quite a while. Yourself?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. And I want to say, like, I'm sure some of our listeners out there have had a chance to get over their massive meals and family times. And that is the nice thing about January 1st is we get to get back into it.
Yeah, but this right here is the only thing that's going to get me through today. You know, the cure.
Shane's holding
hungover.
A Canadian club.
And ginger ale. It's a great tall can. Well, we missed you. We hope you all enjoyed your holidays, whatever that enjoyment manifested.
Yeah,
as.
Let us know how it went.
Yeah. And without further ado, let's just get right into it, you know?
Heck yeah. Today we are back covering another episode of Degrassi the Next Generation Season 1, Episode 11, Friday Night. This episode, it's about awkward first dates and about when disagreements between students and teachers are taken a little too far, Shane. I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I've had plenty of awkward first dates. I haven't really gone after teachers before, but I did make a teacher a little uncomfortable once. We'll get to that story later, though.
Yeah, please.
All right, so let's give some details about said episode. January 27, 2002 is when this episode first aired. It was written by, or the story, by James Hurst, Aaron Martin, and the teleplay was done by Susan Nielsen, director, and I know you're going to have some comments on this because you loved his other episodes so much, Mike. Director is Paul Fox. Paul Fox, same one from the earwig episode.
That's right.
This episode came out 23 years ago, 11 months and 5 days.
Dude, let me down easy.
Yeah. So in our time capsule, which is going to go really quick today because nothing exciting happened for the entire month of January 2002. But the number one song in the U.S., I'm so sick of talking about this song, You Got It Bad by Usher. But yeah. In England, though, Hero by Enrique Iglesias.
Oh my God.
What a track.
Oh, that was a banger, man.
Oh, what a banger.
I'm seeing the shirt, the top three or four buttons undone, frankly.
Was it Shannon Elizabeth in that song, too? It was Jennifer Love Hewitt or Shannon Elizabeth.
One of the it girls of the time, yeah.
Yeah, he just took the... He makes Leonardo DiCaprio... envious of his list of
yeah. We should have Ricky Martin on one day to ask him what his body count is.
All right, Ricky, come on, we can, you know, live La Vida Loca on this podcast. We oftentimes do. Okay, in the box office, the top three. This was cool. Black Hawk Down, A Walk to Remember, Mandy Moore and Shane West, and one of my all-time favorite movies and the top of my horror list, Mothman Prophecies.
Yo, that movie was so creepy. I remember watching that. My parents went on vacation, and I think my sister and my brother were out also. Anyways, I was alone in the basement, lights off, watching that movie, and about halfway through, in that phone call scene where he picks up the phone and it's just a static.
Dude,
at that point I really seriously regret my plans that night.
The directing in that movie was phenomenal, and I still has, I think, one of the most brilliant lines. Richard Gere was he went to that writer that seemed to have some knowledge of the Mothman, and he was just like, well, if it's a enlightened being and it's not human, why wouldn't it try to communicate with us, explain itself to us? And the writer just looks at him and like, you're more sophisticated than a cockroach. Have you ever felt the need to explain yourself to it?
Classic.
Anyway, top shows. And I have a feeling this list will not change for the remainder of 2002. Friends, CSI, ER, and Everybody Loves Raymond. Now that Seinfeld is, you know, a thing of the past.
I'm going to need to work. Yeah, I'm going to have to work my Raymond impression if we're going to keep mentioning it.
just close up that throat and speak through the nose.
There's no way. I'm not doing
that. That was such a great show.
Sorry, folks.
Loved Everyone Loves Raymond. If there was ever a show that demonstrated the similarities between Jews and Italians, since Robert is very Jewish. Anyway. Okay, Mike.
There you go.
You are handling the recap.
Okay, this episode was super fun, as the title Friday Night implies. In the teaser, we open Emma and Manny are hanging out at their lockers when the very dreamy Sean walks up and asks her out on a date. Her first date, obviously, because this is the beginning of high school. Friday night. Yeah, baby.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what Spinner did later on in the episode when he was passing a note to Jimmy and trying to be, you know, sly about it. But it came out like this.
Shane just crumpled up a piece of paper, by the way. In case you couldn't hear that.
For all of you just listening. It seemed... Sean, I mean, he's so confident in some ways, and he seemed so sheepish. He was, I mean, he's already, Emma knows that he likes her. He knows how she feels about him. So why so uncomfortable?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
To make it official.
He has been Mr. Suave so far in the season. And now
he's the bad boy.
Yeah.
He really does have some bedroom eyes, though. He's just so, he really is dreamy.
He's a dreamy
boy. It's
not
just the denim.
No.
It's not. No.
My heart's fluttering. Class is starting, and Toby strikes out yet again with Emma. Emma and Manny are totally unsure of whether it is in fact a date or not, this thing with Sean.
Come on, boy. Just be direct. That goes for all men out there. And women are getting pretty bad with the indirect, you know.
Who's rooting for Toby at this point? Like, I want a show of hands. Who is rooting for Toby and Emma?
I was rooting for Toby, and when I saw him fall so flat on his face, and like, he wouldn't even know what to do with Emma if he got her. So I'm like, nah. Give it to Sean.
Yeah, he's very intellectual, and Emma is she's about heart and action, and I don't know. Yeah, they just don't. But opposites attract. I don't know. Who knows?
Was Toby trying to ask her out at this point too? Or did he just for some reason have a little conniption and forget that they're his friends and he talks to them all the time?
Yeah, it was on the edge of that. But it seemed like a strikeout. I think that's what they were playing at. Because Emma basically says right after that, or Manny says to Emma, I think, she's like, is he going to get a clue, right?
I think that you have to crawl into a hole so dark and so deep when the two girls that you're trying to talk to would rather sharpen their pencils than than respond to you.
Yeah.
You really have to rethink things. Toby.
Sorry, Toby. We are in Miss Kwan's class. And we're finding out that they are all going to see the play Romeo and Juliet at Stratford. And for those who don't know, Stratford is a town. That's right. It's a theater town in Ontario.
But what else is Stratford famous for? More famous than theater. Justin Bieber's from Stratford.
Oh my God, Shane, really?
I thought that's what you were going to do.
You're devaluing the level of integrity of this show.
Am I?
We are thespians here.
You can comment later if that was a good tidbit of information, or you could have gone without it.
Is it too late now to say sorry? All right. We are in Kwan's class finding out they are about to go on a school trip to see Romeo and Juliet, see the play. How apropos for the episode. But Spinner, a.k.a. you, Shane, is distracted by his device, a CD disc man.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those?
I remember them quite well.
Honestly, might have been my most prized possession in high school.
Do you remember the Shockwave?
The one that supposedly
would not skip.
Anti-skip.
Still skipped all the time.
And didn't they have multiple levels of anti-skip? It was like, you know, if you were just walking and then if you were really given it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sports mode, I think it was called.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing was, I think the anti-skip technology was not to stop the CD from kind of vibrating around and shaking around. It pre-recorded, I think, like 20 or 30 seconds in advance, and it would play it back. But if you continued to shake beyond the 30 seconds, it would start to skip.
Yeah.
I never had a Shockwave, but I had a nice Sony, and it was still, No, iPods were game changers, man.
Well, it's short-lived because Kwan walks over in a frustrated rage, picks it up, and accidentally breaks it, trying to shut it off, which leaves Spinner feeling a little blindsided.
And she had no remorse. Would a teacher get fired for that these days, or at least written up?
I don't know. I think it was an accident, but she should have said sorry.
She should have said something.
Yeah. Kwan is not having a good day, or maybe week, or maybe month, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
In gym class, Emma is looking to clarify what the date actually is. And Sean's brain actually melts when she confronts him on this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what he says?
Yeah.
In the weirdest way I think I've ever seen anybody. It was a total brain fart.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird thing. So first, Sean, we know that they have an open line of communication. We know that they like each other. Then Sean gets very nervous when he has to make it official and actually ask Emma out. But I think we've all been in this position before when you ask someone out on a date and then you want to desperately get away from them because you haven't thought past asking that question. And when they say yes, you're like, great. Okay, I'll see you then. But if you have to continue talking, it's a big problem. So
right.
Sean having to be confronted with Emma continuously throughout the episode before the actual date, I just think it's too much for his mind to really process at that point.
Yeah. Totally. So he freaks out, his brain melts, and he slowly backs away while staring at Emma, leaving her even more confused.
And angry.
And that's when Emma's frustration comes out in the form of a dodgeball game.
Mm-hmm.
She grabs the dodgeball, and she just starts whipping it at him with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm. If you can call that whipping. I, you know, with everything great that Paul Fox has done in his short stint.
No, don't tarnish Paul Fox.
Well, I mean, that was the most awkward dodgeball game I've ever seen. And I don't know if anyone knew the rules.
The blocking for that was a little sus.
They didn't even choose teams.
Yeah.
Emma just has the ball thrown back to her after. Yeah, it was the whole thing was strange.
And nobody else is really trying at all. No. So they're just kind of watching Emma pummel poor Sean. Mm-hmm. So it makes the, you know, there might be some, just to give a little background, like it's tough to direct that many extras sometimes.
Even directing them to all stretch in the background was funny enough. I'm not sure if you took a moment to see all of the half-assed stretching that was going on. It's worth a second.
I'll look at it. Yeah. Kwan catches Jimmy and Ashley making out in the hallway. Uh-huh. And absolutely ruthlessly embarrasses them.
And I guess I was happy to see that Jimmy and Ashley they're just good now. They're totally fine.
They're getting at it.
But Kwan is omnipresent. Wherever something bad is happening, she's Batman. She just appears. Yeah.
She's there to either embarrass or break something.
And if she wouldn't have gotten fired for the Discman thing, she definitely would have gotten written up for the, you might think that you're cute, but that doesn't mean that anybody else does. Like that was unnecessary. Like
that is a deep cut personal attack.
How lovely of a person Lin-Lin Liu is. Yeah. And it's how true, right? Out of character that would be for her, the actress, to have done something like that.
No, that's a really good point. She's the sweetest person, but when I watch her as Kwan, she terrifies me.
She doesn't terrify me. She just gets under my skin.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, in the cafeteria, Spinner is doing his lunchroom duty in a hairnet. Asks Jimmy to join a scheme to get even with Kwan. And Jimmy very smartly declines this.
He does not want to be wearing a hairnet like Spinner.
I'm glad to see, though, that they're continuing the arc of Spinner's punishment here. Like, it doesn't just disappear. He's still doing his lunchroom duty from the earwig episode.
You know what I found interesting about this episode? And a little, like, it wasn't hard to keep straight, but it just, this episode moved very fast, but at the same time felt a little spastic because there was equal share between the A plot and B plot. It was one scene for one scene, and the scenes tended to be relatively short. Mm-hmm. So usually the A plot gets, you know, two or three different scenes, and then the B plot gets one. This was just bang, bang, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Obviously, that was the writer's choice, because that's how the episode came out. And it was different. It felt a much quicker paced, but almost a little chaotic compared to other episodes.
Yeah, I agree. And I also do think that Paul Fox has a quick camera move style, and I think that the cutting style is a lot faster paced than some of the other directors, and that's just a personal taste thing.
He's the fastest director in the West, I hear.
Paul Fox. Paige, to Emma's rescue, she helps Emma decode the mystery of the date. It is a date. Sean is just, quote, a one-syllable kind of guy. Mm-hmm. It's guy speak. Yes, no, grunt.
Mm.
So Paige swoops in, and now she's firmly established as this sort of like the older girl. She's been through it all.
She's the love guru.
She's the love guru, yeah. And she's going to dispense her Paigely wisdom, which I really do feel like this is Paige's character really coming into the Paige that we know over the show.
And I feel like Paige, especially with her, you know, take no prisoners attitude, has made many a man go, yeah, whenever it comes time for anything romantic. Yeah. She scares me way more than Quan does.
What is going on with Spinner and Paige at this point? We don't know.
No, we haven't seen them together for a bit. He class clowns in front of her a lot, and she seems to enjoy that, but nothing romantic.
Speaking of class clowns, Spinner is doing an Oscar-winning worthy impression of Miss Kwan in front of the entire class in Kwan's absence. In Kwan's absence, and Jimmy plays along, but Kwan, who has obviously been listening to this, enters the classroom pretending she hasn't just heard what's been going on. And she very cleverly mimics the impression she just overheard.
That was good. That got me. I thought that they just knew Kwan so well that they
predicted. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought. And I liked how we were kind of on the edge of our seats wondering what possibility it could be. And then she kind of explains it away by saying, like, just so you know, there's a reverse speaker button in the principal's office, and we can the speakers become microphones that we can listen in. And I was like, is that actually true?
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, when you do not remember the intercoms and the monitors in the in classrooms,
I guess I blocked it out.
Yeah, dude. Come on. Also, I found it hilarious that Terry comes in somehow getting the message from Kwan that she was going to be delayed. And it's like, yeah, just start with this. This is what you have to do. Made it sound like Kwan was going to get there like 10 minutes later. And then she enters the room like 20 seconds after that.
Yeah. She's like, hold on, just get in there, start the class. I'm just going to eavesdrop because I know they're going to start talking trash about me.
I know these effing kids are up to no good.
Kind of make me think that Kwan might have been feeling a little insecure at this point.
You said this was all her plan.
Well, Spinner and Jimmy are busted, and Jimmy's got detention now too because he was egging Spinner on. Spinner, what do you have to say for yourself?
I think that Jimmy was absolutely right to try to distance himself from Spinner. You know, if you are not careful when you try to rescue a drowning person, they will drown you along with them. And that's what being friends with Spinner is like at this point in school career.
Because he's going to drag you into some.
Yes, he is the tree, the poison tree, and everyone that eats the fruit of Spinner's poisonous tree. We know what happens.
He's a very frustrated boy.
He'll get there.
Emma and Sean are in the computer room, and they are having a really heated chat room discussion, feet away from each other. And then eventually they clear up this confusion about the date. It is a date. Sorry about the confusion. The date is back on, and Emma could not be happier.
Thank you, Paige. Did you happen to see in the chat box where it said ignore user or something like that?
No.
It was the first It was the first message before reply, the first button before reply, before anything else. It was ignore user. I'm just wondering who that was reserved for, if everyone was still in the class.
Oh, my goodness.
No, you've been blocked.
I need some of that. I need those buttons on some of my Instagram comments.
Okay, so Spinner and Jimmy are now in detention on a Friday. This sucks. Yeah.
I feel this. Very Breakfast Club moment. Not happy. The revenge plot is back on.
Okay. And this is where the handoff, like that was, there are two people in this detention. Two. You're going to pass a note. First, you have to rip the paper out of the three-ring binder. That makes noise. Then you crumple it up.
Yeah.
And then your move, instead of faking like throwing it into the waste paper basket, you just slide it along the desk, where a paper ball, as rigid as it is going to make
the physics, Shane, the physics.
It angers me. And then Jimmy has to uncrumple it.
Yeah, not to mention Quan is basically looking exclusively at them.
Right. And if she finds that, tonight equals revenge, like,
there wasn't like a code word or like, hey, let's talk about this later. It's like, tonight, Quan, dead meat.
Yeah. Like, just a crude picture of her with her head cut off and Spinner Jimmy dancing around it. Lord of the Flies style.
I want somebody to just like save you. Oh, well, this is where Jay comes in and teaches you how to be a more clever bad dude.
Not yet. Not yet. And I really don't think Jay ever taught Spinner to be a more clever bad guy, because Spinner got caught for everything, every plan
and
that
blame
Jay
for
brought
everything.
Him in. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Well.
All right. Sean and Emma's first date.
That's right. Sean arrives at Emma's house to pick her up, and Spike is there. Meanwhile, she's been sort of pep-talking Emma. She's talking about her first date and saying how she had horrible verbal diarrhea, which... I love that term, but maybe let's phase it out. It's a little gross.
I was wondering about that, and I guess we should have asked Pat when we last talked to him, but we hadn't watched the episode yet. Was that a callback to something that happened in Degrassi Junior High? I want to know. Was that just her saying like, oh, my first date was this, or did we actually see her on her first date?
Oh my God, yeah. I bet it was.
Yeah.
Set
and that was for the original fans, for the junior high fans.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm sure we got to watch. Oh, I'm so excited now to see Spike's first date episode.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun. Yeah, good point. Yeah. So, and then as another throwback, Spike insists on taking a very awkward Polaroid photo of Sean and Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, that's a nice touch, but Polaroids were still kind of old school, even back then. Or were they? Back in.
They definitely weren't back in. I guess they were still being used to, I guess, whatever your purposes were. Hair and makeup used them for continuity.
That's true. We did use them on set for hair and makeup.
But I had this feeling every time Spike seemed to be like pretty serious when she was speaking to the two of them. Be home by 10, this and that. But I also, she was the subtle little smirk. And I think she enjoyed trolling them a little bit, because she remembers what young love was and her first date, but also she still has to step into the role of mom, so she wanted to. I felt like she was just trying a little too hard,
pushing them out of their comfort zone,
make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, totally.
I don't think you take a picture of these two on their first date when they're obviously so uncomfortable in the first place.
It's a strange thing to commemorate, and especially so young, because you know, let's be honest, and I don't want to be pessimistic and people are going to be upset at me for this, but the date, it's not going to last. The relationship is probably not going to last at that age. And then you're just going to end up grabbing that Polaroid photo and hacking it in half, or maybe into 100 little pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That was so pessimistic. Sorry, by the way.
But who does Emma end up with, pray tell?
Oh, we'll get there in a couple of years. So Emma and Sean head off. Emma is chatting so nervously. She just wants to figure out what they should do on their date night. And they are about to when a bird craps on her. That's good luck, right?
Literal diarrhea.
The figurative diarrhea became the literal diarrhea. A nice little metaphor there.
Yeah.
I do believe they call that pathetic fallacy.
They do. And that bird was obviously just hovering somewhere because it
just
had
tracking
time
her
to
the whole
unload.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's funny though when you think about that stuff because you know it's just art department like whipping up this bird poop in a little paper cup and they're like, "Is that look
we
like
need
bird
more
poop?
Nah,
well,
that didn't read.
Can't use real bird poop, guys. That's unethical.
We need five times as much poop.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they did with me with the earwigs. Nah, five earwigs.
Yeah, Paul Fox. He always wants more earwigs. He always wants more bird poop.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Back at school, Friday night, remember, this is nighttime. Spinner and Jimmy break in to the school PA system room while Quan is in the middle of teaching her adult ESL class.
Sorry, the PA system room is the principal's office, I think.
Is it Radish's office?
Yeah, and all that made my hand sweat because I was just imagining how much trouble you would get breaking into the principal's office, not just sneaking into school after hours and pranking a teacher, but actually taping over the lock in the principal's office, which we don't even have to discuss how they might have done that with Radich nearby. But
so you were actually really freaking out?
I was. Well, we know how much trouble Radich terrifies me. His whole demeanor, that man.
He's a serious guy.
He's like every principal I knew my entire school career.
Totally.
And the idea of, you know, getting in trouble with a teacher is one thing, but actually breaking into his office as a student, no. So, yeah, it did make me uncomfortable that I did this. But anyway.
Well, you did. And you also chewed gum very loudly over the intercom system. This is such a like high school TV show gag.
And nobody has any sense back in when Spinner was drumming with his pen and listening to the Discman. And now with the chewing of gum, no one has any sense of where sound is emanating from in this show. Everyone's very disoriented.
Like you would think that Quan could tell right away it was coming through the speakers.
Up there in the corner, but she's talking to all these poor ESL adult students.
Oh, I know.
Please stop chewing the gum.
It's driving her literally insane. I've never seen somebody so jacked up in front of a class before. She does blame her students, which is so sad. I feel because she's yelling at full-on adults, which is kind of a nice touch. She's used to yelling at the students.
I actually laughed out loud when Jimmy let out a little laugh. They're trying to be all secretive, and then she looks at the PA and there's a extreme close-up of the speaker, and then you just hear Aubrey go
classic. So Miss Kwan is now incredibly suspicious, probably because that Jimmy laugh. She has the custodian bust open the door to Radich's office.
Mm-hmm.
But it's empty.
It's empty.
Because as we come to find out, Jimmy and Spinner are carefully tucked out of sight underneath the desk, which is the first place I would have looked if I was Kwan.
Yep, everything seems in order here. But if she didn't look behind the desk, but then she looked at the, you know, the faded paint mark where the electrical tape stripped off, those paint chips when they entered the office.
And deduced that it was tape specifically purchased by Jimmy.
She runs her finger over it, smells it. That's not school duct tape. Yeah. Anyway.
I like that alt. Sean and Emma are now officially, I think, past the bird poop and on their first date at a fast food restaurant in a mall. Well, Sean talks about why he's a vegetarian because he's ordered a veggie burger, which is very interesting to Emma. It's a harrowing story about growing up on a family farm, which I won't get into too many details about because there might be vegetarians listening. Emma has a little blob of sauce on her chin. Cute? Or is this a nightmare?
I was a big blob. I can understand why she would
be cute.
I understand why she would have died on the inside with something like that.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I don't understand what when we all agreed as a society that it was uncouth to tell somebody that they had something in their teeth or on their face or a booger in their nose, why you just allow them.
I struggle with that with people except for my very closest friends and family. I don't know why. And maybe it's like a Canadian thing. I just feel too and it sucks. I feel like I don't want someone to feel embarrassed.
I get that. But when they find out that they've been walking around with something on their face or in their teeth or on their shirt for hours, when you could have told them the moment you saw them, I think it's the opposite of what should be true.
But all right, this is going on my New Year's resolution list that I'm currently building.
Be more direct.
That's a good point. Thank you. Well, 12 dozen honey garlic wings have arrived to Mrs. Kwan's class. Miss Kwan.
Yeah.
Obviously, she didn't order them. But her students are actually more than happy to eat and pay for all of it.
Yeah. One of their students has hunger.
He's got hunger.
Which she corrects.
I tried learning German a few years ago on tour in Germany, and that is how it roughly translates. Ich habe Hunger. I have hunger.
I have hunger.
That's what it is.
But so there were a couple things about this. Number one, how did this guy, the delivery boy, delivery man, find his way to the class? Now, was he let in by Jimmy and Spinner? This is what I think. He was let in. He was met at the front door, which was probably locked, let in, and then given like a drawn treasure map of how to get to the classroom. But number two, did you notice that the price after tax and delivery was $53.48 for 12 dozen wings?
I certainly
That's like, what was that?
Inflation is killing me.
Less than $5 per dozen, or less than $6 per dozen, whatever it is. That's insane.
We live in a horrible time. And also want to say shout out to Pizza Pizza for the product placement. They're a huge pizza chain in Canada.
Yeah, but their wings are trash.
We're gonna get in trouble. This is where the podcast veers left.
Pizza?
Yeah,
this is
dude.
Okay.
Let's start making some enemies.
Put this out here. This is just our opinion. It does not mean that they are not great wings.
That's true.
I do not like them.
No, neither do I. In fact, I will say that even the thing that they are supposed to specialize in—that's pizza.
Now that is going to get us canceled.
that is going to get us sued.
Now listen, Pizza Pizza is the one that's open later than any other pizza place. And I don't think that there's anybody out there that has ever partied, had drinks, and then been, you know, at the end of the night when it's only McDonald's Pizza Pizza, but one of them delivers and the other one didn't until Uber Eats. Pizza Pizza was always there for you.
They were always there for us. If we had drank too much and we needed to get something in the stomach after the bar, I am not condoning this behavior. But I just want, we're walking it back and, listen, they're doing okay. You know, they don't need to
think
punch
they're doing
down
quite well
on us, Shane.
And they have the best jingle of any of them,
which we're not going to do because
we're not
going to
do, but I know you're hearing it in your head right now, Mike.
Back at the date, Emma has lost her wallet. Oh man. That's embarrassing. This is not going very well, but Sean, heroically, because he is a hunky hero.
Hero, baby.
Good callback. He dives into a garbage can to find it. And he's got it. Or at least he thinks he's got it. But nope, actually, it's just a soggy burger patty, which is the gnarliest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. I thought it was a cookie. I was very disappointed to hear it was a burger patty.
It kind of made me feel nauseous. But he's really going, he's you know, he's a knight in shining armor. Chivalry is not dead.
He should have taken the denim off, though, at least, you know?
That's hard to wash.
I know. Yeah, I know.
It's hard to get stains out of that.
But good man.
Good question. That's actually a question I've got for Daniel Clark. How often did he think his character washed that denim? And was it easy to get stains out of it? Spinner and Jimmy are outside of the school. It is night. They are firing. Well, I should say Spinner is firing eggs at Quan's car. And Spinner kind of, pardon the pun, eggs Jimmy on. See what I did there?
I do.
To throw some of his very own and get out some of the frustration he's got for Quan. He agrees.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
He says, nah, I'm good. And then Spinner throws one more, and then suddenly Jimmy excitedly is throwing an egg.
That's right. Yeah. He's like, changed my mind again. And of course, who walks out but Miss Quan? And as soon as she sees what you boys have done to her car, she bursts into tears.
Mm-hmm. To which Spinner has no remorse, and Jimmy's heart breaks for her.
Too far. I mean, chicken wings that they actually liked. Yeah, okay. Kind of backfired in a good way, but this is just sad.
Yeah, Spinner definitely lost some points with the public on that one. Well, it depends. Depends
you know,
how you feel about teachers.
It is interesting to see where Spinner's public appreciation.
His character currency, if you will.
Yeah, his character currency. We should chart character currency through the season.
Spinner currently sits at a 4.3 out of 10.
Yeah, like fantasy football or something.
Yeah.
Well, Sean is in a back alleyway outside of the mall, dumpster diving into all kinds of smelly stuff when Emma realizes, oh, I've had the wallet on me the entire time. Obviously, she feels mortified and terribly embarrassed, so she takes off. Worst date ever.
We've all been there before. I mean, I lose things in my pockets, in the pocket that I'm searching for it in, all the time. Let's say it's my earpod case, and I reach in there, it's not there. I check all my other pockets. I reach in that pocket again because I know it's there. I don't feel it. I look everywhere else. I give up on it. It's lost forever. And then later that day, I'll reach into the pocket and it's there.
Weird.
This has happened to everybody.
Yeah, it's like goblins or something.
Emma feels like this is her strike three, I guess, at this point.
This date is tough. This for a first date,
the bird shit, the mom, the sauce on the face, and now making Sean dive into the garbage for absolutely no reason.
It's hella embarrassing, but he's here for it.
Yeah, but young love, everything is mortifying if it doesn't go exactly according to plan.
Absolutely.
I get where she's coming from.
Been there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Back in class, the gang are discussing the disaster date with Emma when Sean walks up. It's pretty clear that Sean thinks a lot differently about the date than Emma does. He's not embarrassed. He's not sorry for what happened. He takes the awkward Polaroid from the beginning as a memento. And I think this really, really touches Emma. She smiles. Maybe the date wasn't so bad. And Sean is fully cemented into the halls of great men. He is, he's a demigod at this school now.
Demigod?
Yep.
He's akin to Hercules?
He's akin to Hercules.
Or Loki?
He's a real stand-up guy.
Yep.
So Spinner and Jimmy are also recounting their Friday night antics to a very unsympathetic class when your favorite, the dreaded Principal Radich, enters. Well, Principal Radich explains that Quan has requested a leave of absence.
Absinthe?
Oh my God, what is... I've got absinthe on the brain.
Quan, she wants to see God.
That's right. We are doing Victorian era poison infused liquors tonight. Sorry, let me take that again. Okay, Mr. Principal Radich explains that Quan has requested a leave of absence. The Stratford play, to everybody's chagrin. You didn't think I could use that word, but I crammed it in here. Is canceled. The play is canceled. The fun is over. The class is so disappointed. He explains that Quan's husband has been really, really ill lately. The stress of working overtime, dealing with Spinner and Jimmy, those two knuckleheads probably didn't help. And also taking care of her ill husband at home is just too much for her to bear. And so she has to take a leave of absence. A leave of absence. Leave of absence. Something broke over the holidays. Spinner and Jimmy are feeling incredibly guilty.
Yeah.
And we freeze.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Interesting episode. In many ways, once again, it ends. The freeze is on the B plot.
Yeah.
So who's to say what the focus of the episode really was? I don't know, and obviously time will tell, if there is any other episode that will come down the pipe where the A plot starts the episode and the B plot ends it. But
I don't really know. I mean, I guess there's no rules, you know, like you kind of, you just,
I think
do
there are
works.
A couple rules.
Are there?
Back then there were rules.
Maybe.
Now I think you could do whatever the hell you
want. I think the
want.
Only rule is like, is it engaging? Does it move the story forward? Do we buy it? Are there any plot holes?
I don't know. I thought like, yeah, well, this is Paul Fox, you know, he's like, you know what? No.
The B plot is the A plot.
Do principals fill in for teachers? In the absence of substitute teachers?
I guess.
Isn't that what the emergency supply list is about?
What? Here's my question to you. Does Radich know that this is because essentially Jimmy and Spinner, and is he kind of trying to prove a bit of a point and make them squirm?
He would have been listening on the PA. If that's Quan right. was listening, it would have been in his office. He knows. And he probably had a feeling that they were involved in this.
This whole monologue that he delivers to the class at the end, which is kind of designed, he's pushing the guilt. He's pushing the like feel bad. And I think at one moment he actually kind of locks eyes with Spinner. And I think he is.
It looked like he did.
I think he's kind of passive aggressively trying to say, you know what? A couple of not nice kids did this to her. So now you're stuck with me.
So now you're stuck with me.
Joke's
on you.
Yeah, it's
very possible. Which made me squirm as well. As soon as he walks into the room, his whole... Dan Woods played such an excellent principal.
I know, man. He's great.
All business, but still, like, you know, morally virtuous.
Oh, my God. We have to have Dan on the show.
We could easily have Dan on the show. He's good friends with Pat.
Let's do it.
And he has a whole evolution too. He started out on junior high as a teacher. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So fun episode. Now, Mike, I know we have a lot from Discord. We have a lot on Patreon. Let's get to the Patreons first, and then we'll knock out Discord. And you are so active on Discord these days. If anyone is wondering if it's actually you.
It is me. I realized that I didn't have an official admin or whatever stamp on there. So people were wondering if I was an impersonator. It was me. I'm in there. Somebody else wrote. They were like, oh, my God, like he's infiltrated us. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm up in there.
Your user icon needs to be a proof of life kind of thing. It's me.
Yeah. With the newspaper
with the date. Gun to your head. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I'm alive. It's me. So Nikki Stiller has a comment on our Patreon. My best friend still uses the old school T9 on her phone.
Still.
Why? I literally don't understand how or why, but she's kept it that way this whole time.
In a documentary on music from years ago with Jack White, The Edge, and Jimmy Page.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
It was called It Might Get Loud. And Jack White was saying that he really likes to stress himself out on stage because that stress manifests as passion and attitude in the music. And he's like, if I could, you know, if I'm playing the piano or if I'm playing guitar over here and my pedal board is here and I want to get to the piano and I could comfortably get there in 3 steps, I'm going to push it 5 steps away. So I have to rush over to it. And I'm wondering, does this girl... just like
she wants her text
making her life
like
a little
that.
Bit more complicated because that's when she operates at her best.
Old habits die hard, and that is kind of amazing. Thanks.
Maybe
for,
she's a genius, and that's her.
She's a mad genius.
Yeah.
Well, text us. Anyways, Jennifer Gentry says this was about the special evening with Pat Mastriani. Jennifer Gentry says, this was just absolutely fun to watch and hear how you all experienced life in the ways of Degrassi. I'll definitely be making sure you're forced to come see us at our next Fan Fest. We don't know where Fan Fest is, but we will go there if you invite us. Okay, let's get to some Discord questions.
Okay.
This is a great question. For later on, we might actually end up getting to the minis. Could be fun. Ooh, to do podcast episodes on the minis, right?
That's but great. Chrome, I didn't even think of
Chrome
that.
Says on our Discord, love the pod and love you guys like my Canadian big brothers. That's right. My question is, what were the most memorable and or fun Degrassi minis to shoot?
Ooh.
I think I know
Pirates
your
answer. Pirates of the Cafe Terrarium or Pirates. Whatever. The Pirates of the Caribbean spoof for me, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember how long we sat in the makeup chairs on that one? Because that was a lot of makeup.
I loved it. And now, if I had to do that every single time we shot, I'm sure that love for the process would have dropped significantly. But because it was so novel at that point, yeah.
I like to believe that Johnny episode. Depp went home every night in full wardrobe and makeup. And just fall into bed.
Well, you know, when it comes to the Penguin with Colin Farrell, that's the reason that they're not going to do a second season, because he had to spend upwards of 6 hours in the chair single day. And if he had to go to the bathroom, they had to take him out of it and put him back into it. And he said it was just so uncomfortable. They had to build in a cooling system. Yeah. What? So I was like, he's very grateful for the opportunity.
Where'd they put that cooling system, huh?
I think they ran cold water pipes through it. Yeah.
My favorite mini was, obviously, it's got to be The Diary of Jay Hogarth. Come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was so, what a curveball. And to play a character playing a British nanny. Now, that is some sort of Degrassi inception.
It was your Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's right.
You've a denier? Doubtfire, dear. I don't know. Rest in peace, Robin.
Rest in peace, Robin. Kimmy W. says, I know it's a TV show, but I always found the scene where Spinner and Jay get expelled quite interesting. In reality, it wouldn't actually work that way in Ontario, as there is a process. Just found it interesting as seeing it on TV. I know this is coming up way, way later in the seasons, but this is interesting because I'm curious why Kimmy knows this. Maybe Kimmy works in education and has an idea of how this works in Ontario. But I am always curious what teachers are seeing when they see the show.
I don't remember us getting expelled. Did that happen with the Jimmy shooting or?
It must have, yeah.
But we were both back in school after that, so... I mean, Spinner graduated.
I'm curious to revisit that.
Well, it's coming. We are almost done season one, baby.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
I know.
That's wild. Okay, Bailey Weeb says, questions for Mike and Shane. One, did you ever feel personally conflicted about a storyline your character was part of? And two, which issue tackled on the show do you think is still handled poorly in teen media today? These are some good questions.
Yeah, it's a good question. I personally didn't feel conflicted. I saw every opportunity as something that was very different from how I felt and what my real life character is true to as a fun departure and a challenge. I mean, being a Jew, playing a born again Christian and a Christian in general, being a bigot for a period of time. Any of those things I saw them as you know, fun escapes from my regular life. What about you, Mike?
The only thing that comes close is like the bracelet episode, and the only reason I know about that is because it felt so ripped from the headlines, and I know the writers and the producers were going back and forth about how to approach that subject. Because it was all happening in real life, in high schools, this bracelet phenomenon, this sort of like quid pro quo, if you will, transactional nature of sex and oral sex especially was sort of not being seen as sex by teenagers, or they were trying to sort of delegitimize it as sex. And so there was all this public outrage about this. And so I think the writers really were wondering, how do we handle this? But ultimately, I think that Degrassi, for the time, really handled each difficult issue well. So there was nothing I felt personally conflicted by, really.
All right.
And which issue tackled on the show do you think is still handled poorly in teen media today?
I don't know. What shows are doing now that would still be the same as what Degrassi did, and why that would be ill treatment of a subject that Degrassi didn't get right, talking about so many years ago. And that's not me trying to protect Degrassi. I really think they did an excellent job of portraying things realistically and tastefully. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I don't consume a lot of teen media. Right. I think the last.
Oh, that's all I watch.
Yeah. The last thing I like the edgier stuff. So, you know, I think I watched Skins and then Euphoria. So Euphoria is probably the last thing, but I don't even know, like, are teens watching Euphoria? That's really intense. I guess that's sort of where the controversy.
Teens are watching Euphoria.
And there's the controversy there, right? Because is it glamorization versus, right? So I think there's a lot of television which is pushing the boundaries and pushing is elevating these issues, or platforming them, I should say. But there, it's actually about approach. You know, it's about tone and approach and how we're handling them. And I don't think that, I don't know, this is not the right format probably for a dissertation on euphoria, why it was good, why it was bad. But I understand that it's highly controversial. And so I think, you know, maybe we're focused on pushing the glitzy, glamoury kind of part of the aspects of the issues,
I think,
over the educational. I don't know.
I think much of the reason that Euphoria was so controversial is because people didn't like to see that and the high school kids through that lens. It's like, it can't be like this. And right. It definitely is. It definitely is. And maybe not everywhere in the world, but in some places, 100%. I mean, it's just with social media and how quickly things are changing and how the, you know, people seem to be maturing or at least being exposed to things you would hope people didn't really get a taste for until their late teens. In the early 2000s are now probably being exposed to them in their tween years.
Yeah.
It's Euphoria is terrifying that way. I think a lot of people started to think that I think they're taking some liberties. Kids this young can't be acting like this. And I have a feeling that it's pretty true to form.
And then the question is life imitating art or is art imitating life? Maybe it's a little bit of both. These are the big questions about media.
It's the age-old question. Yeah. Did Apple end the CD-ROM drive because they thought that it was they're like, no one needs this anymore because they're so influential in tech that them stopping means that the technology is going to die. So was it ready to die off or did Apple make it die off?
That's right. Now that we know the hill, right. The CD-ROM hill that Shane is dying on today, we want to thank you guys again for sticking with us and listening. I just want to say, if you are enjoying this and you have other Degrassi fans in your life that are unaware of the podcast, please, please, please share these episodes with them. We want to spread all of the love and we want fans to be able to access this. We're having a really, really good time doing it.
We also are hoping to be entertaining, to transcend the Degrassi universe and just be a very entertaining podcast. So even if your friends have very little knowledge of Degrassi, still tell them that our personalities shine through. It's worth the listen no matter what.
And just to say again, we love the questions, we love the comments, we love the feedback. Please hit us up at dgradspodcast@gmail.com. That's our email address. We are also on Patreon, where you can see the video episode, see our faces as we are recording these podcasts at patreon.com/dgrads. And of course, there is a burgeoning dgrads Discord community at dgrads alumni. We hope that you guys will join, interact with all the fans, throw us questions there. We're jumping in and out of there all the time, and we just love to see the conversations that pop off there.
I think we nailed this first podcast of 2026.
Heck yeah.
Thank you for listening. This has been yet another episode of the Degrads Podcast with your hosts Shane Kippel and Mike LaBell, and we will talk to you beautiful people next week.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.